Hey everyone, welcome back for another deep dive with us. Today, we're going to be looking at, well, you could say, the digital keys to our lives.
Interesting way to put it.
Cybersecurity, right? Specifically, we're diving into this document you shared.
Yeah.
All about access control and authentication and even identity management. It's a lot.
It really is, and it's something that affects all of us these days, even if we don't realize it.
That's so true. I mean, think about it. We log into accounts online, we do our banking, we're constantly proving that it's really us behind the screen. You know?
Exactly. It's easy to just kind of take for granted all that's happening behind the scenes until, of course, something goes wrong.
Oh, absolutely. And with the way our lives are so intertwined with the digital world now, just understanding these systems, like how they work, it feels more important than ever.
Couldn't agree more. And this document you shared, it goes way beyond just the cybersecurity basics, especially when it comes to this idea of proving who we are online. Like, how do we really know it's you logging in and not someone pretending to be you?
Right. So it's not just about having a strong password then.
Well, that's part of it, of course. But what's so fascinating about this document is that it really pushes us to think beyond the simple password toward a future where our digital identities are, well, more secure, but also more convenient.
Okay, I got to know more about that. But first, let's back up a bit. The document, it dives right into authentication, which I guess at its simplest is how a website or an app knows it's actually you trying to get in.
Right. It seems simple enough on the surface, but there's a lot going on underneath.
So break it down for us.
Well, authentication really is the foundation of cybersecurity. But here's the thing, those passwords we all rely on, they're actually the least secure authentication method.
Really? I mean, they're everywhere.
I know. But they're also the easiest to crack, to phish, all sorts of vulnerabilities. And that's exactly why we're seeing this big push towards multi-factor authentication, MFA.
Right, MFA. Everyone's probably seen that pop up, you know, when you log into your bank account or email.
Yeah.
But maybe not everyone fully gets what it means.
It's actually a pretty simple concept when you break it down. Imagine you're trying to get into a high security facility, right? Just showing your ID card, that might not be enough.
They probably want more than that.
Exactly. They might ask for like a unique code, maybe sent to your phone, or they might require a fingerprint scan, something more to verify it's you. And that's essentially what MFA is doing online. It's adding those extra layers of verification.
I like that. So it's not just about something you know, like a password, but maybe something you have on you, like your phone, or even something you are, like a fingerprint.
You got it. It's like a digital triple check in a way. And the document does a really good job of outlining these different types of authentication factors.
Oh, tell me more about that.
Well, you've got those knowledge factors like your password, your PIN number, anything like that. Then you have what we call ownership factors. That's like a physical token, maybe a key card, or even that authenticator app that's on your phone generating those time-based codes.
Right.
And then finally, you have inheritance factors. Those are the things that are totally unique to you, your biological traits, fingerprints, iris scans, even facial recognition in some cases.
It's like, how can you argue with a fingerprint?
Mm.
Unless someone steals your finger. Okay, maybe that's a bad example.
Well, biometrics definitely have their own pros and cons, but you get the idea. And what I find really interesting is this move towards what they're calling passwordless authentication.
Oh, yeah. I read about that in this document. Honestly, it sounds amazing if we can pull it off.
I know, right? Imagine a world without passwords. And we're seeing more of it now with things like Windows Hello using facial recognition.
Yeah.
Or those FIDO2 security keys.
Those little USB stick things, right?
Exactly. They rely on those biometrics or physical keys to verify it's you, which could potentially make passwords obsolete eventually.
So no more trying to remember if you used a capital letter or a special character. Sign me up. But seriously, are there any downsides to going passwordless?
That's a great question, and it really gets to that balancing act between security and convenience. Passwordless options, they do offer much better security overall, and they're definitely more user-friendly.
Sure, sure.
But they often require specific hardware or software to work, and not everyone has access to the latest and greatest tech just yet. So we're in a transition phase for sure.
It's like with any new technology, it takes a while for everyone to get on board.
Right? Exactly. Plus, we have to change habits and systems that have been in place for years, if not decades. It's not going to happen overnight.
Right. It's not like we can just flip a switch and suddenly everyone wakes up in a passwordless world.
I wish it were that easy. It's a process.
That's for sure. Okay, so we've talked about, you know, getting logged in. But what happens after that? Honestly, I never really thought about that part until reading this document.
Well, that's where session management comes in. It's often overlooked, but it's just as important as the initial login when we're talking about security.
Session management. For those of us who, you know, aren't cybersecurity experts, what does that even mean?
Okay, think of it like this. You unlock your front door, you go inside, you don't just leave it wide open, right? You want to make sure it stays closed and locked, even while you're home. Session management is kind of like that for your online accounts. It's about keeping your account secure, even while you're actively using it.
Okay, I like that analogy. Makes it much easier to understand. So how does that work in practice, like when you're online?
Well, actually, the document gives some really good examples that everyone can relate to. Remember those old school screensavers? Like the ones that would pop up after a few minutes of inactivity?
Oh, yeah, I remember those. Back when screensavers were actually cool, not just blank screens like we have now.
Exactly. And a lot of those screensavers had password protection. So if you stepped away from your computer for a bit, you'd have to enter your password again to get back in. It was like a mini authentication in a way.
Right. So you come back to your computer and boom, password prompt. I totally forgotten about that.
Well, that same principle, it applies to our online accounts. Think about how many banking websites or even your email provider, they automatically log you out after you've been inactive for a while.
Oh, yeah, all the time.
That's session management at work. Even if you forget to log out yourself, those systems are designed to time out protecting your account.
Okay, that is actually very reassuring. It's like these small things can make a big difference.
That's it.
Speaking of big differences, this document, it also mentions something called session hijacking, which sounds kind of terrifying.
Yeah, that's definitely not good. It's basically like someone slipping in through that open door we were talking about, taking over your session without you even realizing it.
Oh, no.
They could potentially see your communications, maybe even gain access to your account if the right security measures aren't in place.
So it's like a digital home invasion.
That's a good way to put it. It's a real threat. But the good news is that those strong session management practices, like those automatic timeouts, along with other security measures, they can really reduce that risk.
Gotcha. So strong authentication to get us in the door, and then good session management to make sure everything stays locked up tight while we're inside. Love it.
Yeah.
But this document, it goes even deeper. It talks about this other layer of security, something called just-in-time access, or JIT.
Oh, JIT is great. It's a really smart approach. Instead of always having access to everything, JIT takes a more dynamic, you know, needs-based approach.
Yeah. So instead of giving someone the master key to the entire house, you give them a key to just the room they need, just for when they need it.
Precisely. And the document gives this great example. Let me see if I can remember it. Imagine you have a database administrator, right? And they need to make a quick change to, like, the logging settings for the database.
Okay, I'm following.
So with JIT, they wouldn't have this constant, you know, always on access to the entire database. Instead, they'd request temporary access just for that specific logging task. Make the change, boom, access is revoked.
Okay, that's smart. So you're limiting risk by limiting access to only what's absolutely necessary at that moment. It's like having a security detail for your data. I love it.
That's a great way to put it. It all comes down to the principle of least privileged users should only have the bare minimum access they need to do their job effectively. Nothing more, nothing less.
Makes sense. Why give anyone more access than they absolutely need? That's just asking for trouble. So we've covered authentication, making sure it's really you, session management to keep you secure while you're online, JIT access to limit access to only what's needed at that time. This is a lot.
It is a lot, and we're not even done. Because this document, it goes even further. It brings up this whole other level with Federated Identity Management, FEFI.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like we're getting into, like, the really futuristic stuff now.
It is pretty wild when you think about it. Essentially, FIM is all about different entities, you know, organizations, websites, whatever, and them sharing authentication and authorization information. And this often happens across organizational boundaries, which is where things get interesting.
Okay, that sounds a bit abstract. Can you give me a real-world example?
Sure. Think about the last time you signed up for a new website or an app. Did it give you the option to log in with Google or log in with Facebook?
Oh, yeah, all the time. Uh-huh. It's so much easier than creating a whole new account.
Right, and that is FIM in action. Instead of you having to create a new login, a new password to remember, you're basically saying to that website, hey, I'm cool with you trusting the identity verification I've already set up with Google or Facebook or whoever. They've already done all the work.
So it's like they're vouching for you in a way.
Exactly, and that's one of the big benefits of FIM. From a user's perspective, it makes accessing things so much simpler. It streamlines your whole digital life. Plus, you could argue that it can even enhance security. because you're relying on those big companies with their robust authentication mechanisms.
Yeah, it's not like some small website can compete with the security resources of, like, a Google or a Facebook.
Exactly. They've got whole teams dedicated to that. It's their bread and butter.
So it's like having this trusted passport that you can use to navigate all these different digital countries or domains online. And you don't have to create a whole new identity for each one.
I love that analogy. And the document, it actually points out that something called single sign-on, or SSO, that's closely related to FIM.
Oh, yeah. SSO. I've definitely heard of that. Can you remind me how that works again?
Sure. So SSO is what lets you access lots of different applications or services within a specific ecosystem, but by logging in only once. A common example is within a corporate network.
Gotcha.
You might log in once in the morning, you get to your desk, and then boom, you can seamlessly access your email, internal websites, work applications, all without having to re-enter your password each time.
Yeah, that's so convenient. Especially if you're like me, jumping between a million different things all day.
It's a huge time saver. And it's interesting because SSO actually often relies on a protocol called Kerberos to work.
Kerberos, as in the, like, Greek mythology.
You got it. In Greek mythology, Kerberos, or Cerberus, is that three-headed dog that guards the underworld.
Wow. Never thought I'd see the day where ancient myths and modern tech intersect. That's pretty cool. So I'm guessing they chose that name because Kerberos is like the guard dog of the internet, making sure only the right people get in.
Exact. I always love it when those connections pop up, you know. You don't have to be a mythology expert to understand cybersecurity.
For sure. Okay, so we've got FIM, which is this idea of sharing identity information, and then SSO, which is like that convenient one login for everything thing. And we can't forget about Kerberos, our trusty guard dog. But there's another acronym in this document that seems pretty important, SAML.
Ah, yes. SAML, or Security Assertion Markup Language, it's a mouthful. Basically, SAML is a standard protocol that lets those different identity providers like your Google or Facebook and the service providers like the website you want to log into securely exchange all that authentication and authorization data.
So it's like the language they all agree to speak, making sure everyone is on the same page when it comes to this identity stuff.
Exactly. And SAML is one of the, if not the most widely used standard to make sure all that communication happens securely. The document, it gets into the nitty-gritty about its different components, but the important thing is that it all works together to create a really reliable framework for how we share the sensitive identity information.
So it's like the unsung hero behind the scenes, making sure all this seamless identity stuff actually works.
It's the backbone of our convenient digital lives. Give SAML a round of applause.
I'm giving it a round of applause.
Yeah.
But speaking of important things that often go unnoticed, this document also talks about accountability.
Ah, yes. Accountability. I feel like this is an aspect that a lot of people don't think about enough when it comes to cybersecurity.
I know, right?
Yeah.
It's easy to get caught up in the passwords and the MFA and all of that. But accountability, it's like fundamental.
It really is. It's about making sure that actions online that can be traced back to individuals, which is essential, not just for security, but also for auditing purposes. Like if something does go wrong, you need to be able to figure out what happened and who was involved.
So it's like, it's not just about who can get in, but also keeping track of what they do once they're in, like a digital trail of breadcrumbs.
Exactly. A trail of breadcrumbs. That's a great way to put it. And all of those mechanisms we've been discussing, the unique IDs, the authentication, the authorization, even just logging activity, those all contribute to that accountability framework.
Which honestly is kind of reassuring when you think about it. Like if something does go wrong, you can at least trace back what happened, who did what, you know? No. It's like security camera footage for your data.
I love that analogy. And it really highlights why those things like audit logs or activity monitoring are so important. By tracking actions, organizations can investigate breaches, spot any suspicious behavior. It's all about connecting the dots.
It's like a system of checks and balances, but for the digital world.
Precisely. You might not always need it, but when you do need it, it's invaluable.
That's for sure. So just to kind of recap for everyone, because we've covered a lot of ground here, we started with that idea of authentication, making sure it's really you on the other side of the screen.
Right, and not just relying on passwords anymore.
Exactly. Moving towards those stronger methods, like multi-factor authentication, or even passwordless in the future. Then we talked about session management, so even while you're online, things stay secure.
Like making sure you don't leave that door wide open.
Huh. Yes, exactly. And then we touched on JOT access, which is about limiting access to only what's needed when it's needed, And then, of course, that whole other world of federated identity.
Which, let's be honest, can feel a bit like stepping into a science fiction novel sometimes.
Right. But it's really not that far off if you think about how we're already using these things every day without even realizing it.
That's so true. It's all happening behind the scenes.
So, with all of that in mind, what are some of the, like, key takeaways you hope people walk away with from this little deep dive into cybersecurity?
Well, I hope it's clear that cybersecurity, it's about so much more than just remembering a complicated password or having the latest antivirus software, you know?
Right. It's bigger than that.
It really is. It's about understanding how we manage and protect access in this world that's only becoming more digital, not less.
And realizing that it's not just about the technology itself, but also about our own behavior online,
right?
Like being aware of the risks.
100%. Because the more aware we become aware of the mechanisms at play, how we're being authenticated, how our activity is tracked, the better we are at navigating this digital world safely and securely.
Because knowledge really is power when it comes to cybersecurity.
Mm-hmm.
If you know what to look out for, what questions to ask, that already puts you ahead of the game.
Absolutely. You're not just blindly clicking on things anymore. You're making informed choices.
Exactly. Now, before we wrap up this part of the deep dive, there's one last thought from this document that really stuck with me. It talks about how all of these advancements we've been discussing, you know, like the passwordless authentication, the JIT access, things like that, how those advancements, they might actually change our whole understanding of identity and access in the future.
That's a big one. It's a really fascinating question to consider, for sure. As our digital interactions become even more seamless, even more interconnected, what does that mean for how we define and manage who we are online?
It's a great question. It's not just about logging onto a website anymore, right? It's about accessing our homes, our cars, even our health information, all through these digital channels. It's a lot.
It is a lot. And it raises all sorts of interesting questions. Like, if we're moving toward this world with less reliance on passwords, what happens if you lose your phone, which is basically holding all your digital keys now?
Yikes. Haven't thought about that.
Or how do we make sure we have privacy and control over our own data when it's being shared between all of these different systems?
That's a big one. I mean, it makes you realize how rapidly this whole field is evolving. What we think is secure today might be, like, totally outdated tomorrow.
That's the thing about cybersecurity. It's a moving target, constantly evolving.
It's true, which is why it's so important to stay informed, to stay curious, and to approach cybersecurity as this ongoing process, not a destination.
I love that. It's a journey, not a destination.
It really is. It's like we're building the plane while we're flying it, right? Figuring out the security implications as we go.
That's a great way to put it. It's true, in a way. And I think that's why these conversations are so important, you know? The more we can all understand these concepts, the more we can understand the systems at play, the better equipped we are to make good decisions about our own digital lives.
Absolutely. Well, as our listeners are finishing up this deep dive with us, what's one thing you really hope they take away from this conversation?
Honestly, I just hope it sparks some curiosity. You know, cybersecurity, it doesn't have to be this big, scary thing, this mysterious thing. It's about understanding the tools, understanding the strategies that are out there that can help us all stay safer, more secure online.
I love that. Perfectly said. Well, a huge thank you to you. This has been incredibly insightful.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. Happy to be here. Happy to dive into this stuff anytime.
And to all our listeners out there, thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the world of cybersecurity. Until next time, stay curious and stay secure.